In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're doing talk 13 in this series of preaching in adversity. What I want to talk about today, and perhaps for several other sessions, has to do with renewing the parish. See, preaching in adversity only works if there are people there taking it in, being changed, and putting it into practice. Otherwise, it's an interesting talk. Now, I'll go on with the Mass and go home and be no different. So, I'm going to work now on a few of those ideas that our preaching is directed to somebody. And what are some of the follow-ups of that preaching to someone? Now, many of you are already doing some of these things, but I just thought it would be good to look at them. It seems that the most effective way to renew a parish is to call together volunteers, just launch an appeal to those who wish to learn how to evangelize. You'll be surprised how many people will come. And then, to teach them how to evangelize. Well, it's not a question of how-tos, it's a question of what. Who knows the Lord? Because no one can preach unless he knows Jesus Christ personally. And this is being said over and over and over again in a lot of the literature that's coming out, as well as from Rome. But it just seems that one of the most effective ways is to launch an appeal. Let's have a group of people who would like to evangelize. And in most parishes, you get quite a good number. And I'll come back to that in a moment. And then what do you do to form them? Well, I'll mention one right now. It's called, I can't read it from here. I'll tell you later. But it's by David Nodar. And it's, what does that say? Sharing Christ. That's the program. And it's by David Nodar, N-O-D-A-R. And if you Google that, you'll find the whole thing, including a whole series of videotapes, about 12 talks, that share and explain. I know it works. We've been doing it in the local parish and in my own community here in Gaithersburg. And I know that it gets people involved, okay? Now, what does it mean, then, to share Christ or to help the laity? See, we've discussed a lot up to now the adversity, that is, the mental climate of our environment, which, honestly, is better than nearly every other place in the world. I lived in Europe several years, and there's more faith interest among Catholics and Protestants in this country than anywhere else. So we have a great chance to evangelize and to save this country from the road on which it is certainly destined now of corruption, control, lack of trust, and so forth. If people know Christ, they know how to behave and what to do with themselves and in their families. And so, the first thing I want to talk about then is, you see, what someone calls in her book, Sherry Widell, Forming Intentional Disciples, The Path to Knowing and Following Jesus. Now, what I'm hoping to do with these recommendations is what I've done already. Send you out something that's available online. It'll be a very short bibliography mentioning George Weigel's book, the one I just referred to, which is called Evangelical Catholicism. That's great reading for anybody. Basically, it's talking about an experiential faith. And that means, as Benedict XVI said himself, the whole church has to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is, we must become aware. The key word is aware, which, if you notice, is exactly the word he's using now in this year of faith. A different word, but an encounter with Christ. Know that you've encountered Christ. That's the foundation for a renewed Christian life, a renewed parish, a renewed church, and an evangelical church, one that can go out and preach in a convincing way and in a winning way. It's the goal is to bring people to being intentional, that is, knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it and experiencing the reason why. And I'll mention a few others, but as I say, I hope to put them out in a bibliography. The notion then is to bring people to this point of knowing the Lord. There is a nice quote from George Weigel as well, talking about this, if I can find it quickly. One of the books he mentions here is a book by Rodney Stark, S-T-A-R-K, and that book by Stark, I've forgotten the title of it right now, but you can find it if you just Google Stark. It was one-on-one layperson to a non-believing layperson, if you will. It was witness. It was just witnessing one-on-one. Or at one point when there was a great plague in Rome and everybody who could got out, including Galen, the great medical theoretician of the time, and they all split and left Rome except the dying and the Christians. The Christians stayed and took care of those who were too sick to get out and buried the dead and took care of people and just a bowl of soup or something to help them. When the plague finally subsided and people came back into town, the Christians were held in great esteem because of the care, the love, and the courage they showed in taking care of family members whom the others had left behind to get out and be safe. And the Christians didn't do that. That was a great sermon. And so, and I've forgotten the name of his book, but if you look under S-T-A-R-K, Stark, Rodney Stark, you'll find it. It's a very interesting book. So, what I'm talking about in this talk and in the one that follows is how do we help the laity assume their responsibility? And that's why this book by George Weigel is very helpful, because it's talking about what comes down to baptism in the Holy Spirit. He never uses the term. I think he's afraid people will close his book if he tries it. But or maybe he doesn't want to use the term anyway. But it's an experiential faith. See, that's a knowing what we have received in baptism and confirmation. Knowing. Or in the latest material that he put out just before he resigned, it is what? It's an encounter with the living Christ. That's where we go. and there can be no renewal of the church without it. So, I've been talking so far about how the priests preach, but now I think we have to talk for a while about how the church becomes renewed in this age of adversity. We need an experiential faith that makes our people sure of themselves so that they're not frightened or defensive, and they can, with peace and love, share their knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I can promise you, I'm almost 60, or maybe I'm over 60 years ordained, whatever I am, I know that Lord Jesus Christ wants to give to every believer a living, personal, experiential, life-changing knowledge of himself, which, when the charismatic renewal began, people in the English-speaking world were called baptism in the Spirit. It was called other things, receiving the pouring out of the Spirit, l'effusion de l'Esprit Saint, and so forth. But it is the same wherever. And so, we priests and our preaching have to make that available. First, because people can tell that we know what we're talking about. We're not just saying these words, you know, sort of moral exhortation. We're trying to impart a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if we know him, we can. So our first duty, of course, is to apply all this to ourselves and know the Lord Jesus. Well, the basis of that is a life of prayer. And receiving prayer from others. And looking at some of these books that I'm going to mention later on a conscious faith. So, our job is to know the Lord and then to launch an appeal to any who wish to join a group in order to learn how to evangelize, how to spread the faith. Most pastors are amazed at the number of people who show up wanting to do that. And as I say, then, this program, Sharing Christ, which you can Google and get to, and it's like 12 videotapes. And it's a great help to people learning how to do that and striving, therefore, to know the Lord themselves so they can share their knowledge of Christ, not their knowledge in a book. Because books don't evangelize, people do. And so that's the mission of the church. As I say, this book, if you haven't read this book by George Weigel, I think you can see what I'm saying, implying. We priests have to give at least 10 to 12 hours a week to study. We can't afford to do less. And yes, we need direction on what to read. I've heard about most of these books through others, but I've read them, and I've learned a lot. And then we're able to know what it is we're trying to bring other people to, a living personal knowledge and love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.